Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Unified Caring, Caring Moments podcast. UCA Caring knows no bounds. We endeavor to be wherever caring is needed and help create caring communities everywhere. Please be sure to follow us on Twitter at Unified Caring and check out our website, www.unifiedcaring.org, to see the many ways you personally can benefit by becoming a member. And now, here's the show.
Good morning and welcome to the Caring Moments podcast. My name is Karen, and today's show is Virtual Volunteering Movement on a Global Scale. Now, the Caring Moments podcast is excited to speak with one of Unified Caring Association's caring partners, Alicia Sanchez, founder of Dear God, Are We There Yet? And I love, oh my God, I'm so in love with her. Alicia believes that you don't have to be rich or famous to help people. As growing up in a sharing community, it wasn't called volunteering. It was just a way of life. From food to clothes, if it was outgrown, it was given to someone who would use it. Now, to begin her journey, or this began her journey, pardon me, to connect people whose most precious commodity is time, not money, just time, and gift it in meaningful matters, from writing an anonymous letter or a dozen of them and drop them off at a retirement home to research and grant writing volunteers. Alicia is also a published writer, among many articles in endless publications, also wrote the book, Dear God, Are We There Yet? And this is a movement to spark conversation about topics in our lives that may make our voice shake and or make our souls smile. Alicia, welcome the show. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you so much for that warm welcome. And hello, everyone listening. Hola, bonjour, whatever, wherever you are listening from, welcome and hello. And I'm so excited to be here, too. Thank you for that warm welcome.
Oh, you're welcome. You are, like, so amazing to me. I think your energy is absolutely infectious, right? And I mean good energy vibes. Just speaking with you, I think, lifts the energy level of anybody who's listening to you. And if I'm going to be infected with anything, that's what I want. Infectious giggles, infectious, you know, ideas, and the power to move mountains. And that's really what you've done. So tell us a little bit how you got here.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is no try. You do. You don't try. You actually do.
I'm doing, right? I know. Everyone tells me, just say you do. It all started, you know, I always tell everyone, you know, sometimes we think we know what we're meant to do, we're meant to, what our purpose or whatever it is that we're supposed to be doing. And I, like you said in the beginning, volunteering was something that we did is in my family. I'm from Dominican Republic. And so at young, being, you know, in another country, well, my parents were not born here, but I was, we would go through our clothes if it didn't fit us and we would send it back home. We would go to our church for the farm workers and help out. We would clean. We would do all these different things. And, you know, I didn't know that that was volunteering. I knew it was. I thought it was just like what everybody did, you know. I'm like, oh, everybody does this. This is what you're supposed to do. And as I grew older, and yeah, right. And I was in the fashion industry, and I did fashion. I did business, like the majority of my professional, you know, career. And then I just started thinking about, you know, life and what has made my life, like what are the things in my life, the memories. I am a cancer survivor, so that was a big, huge thing in my life where I would always sit back and say, what are the moments in my life? Who are the people? What are the experiences I've had? And it's always been someone who sat and spoke with me, someone who called me, someone who wrote a letter. And those are things that are like, they're just there's such amazing memories. And it wasn't money, and it wasn't anything particular like a gift. It was time. And there were so many different causes that I was so connected to. I was connected with anything that had to do with children, with immigration, with legal, with incarceration, with women with domestic violence, men with domestic violence, and just so many different things. And I said, I want to help everybody. Like, I can't just help one person. I have to help everyone. I want to, and not myself, because I said, if I can get one person to help each cause, it just takes one person. And so, dear God, are we there yet? Start off with the book. And then I said, this is something bigger than me. I want to get businesses involved and have their employees involved. I want to have vision trips so people can understand different cultures. I want to be able to help all the causes that are not highlighted out there. I mean, there's so many causes. And so that's, in a nutshell, how I began this volunteer community. And then COVID hit, and it was like, okay, we still can help people, even if we're doing it virtually. And so now the power is, it doesn't matter where you're at. You can still take time to help someone. And, yeah, that's one person at a time, one time, 1 hour at a time.
So tell me about virtual volunteering. How is it exactly that works? You know, I've talked with my youngest son about doing this. He does volunteer stuff through his school and things like that. And he wanted, he was looking for a way to do more. And I told him about, Dear God, Are We There Yet? And to look and find something he could do virtually. So why don't you kind of explain to people how that works?
Absolutely. So we have a platform that is dedicated to different posts or different requests from different causes all over the world. And basically you can go in there depending on a cause category. It could be arts, culture, you know, immigrants, refugees, seniors, or sports, recreation, whatever it is. And you click on there, and then they will have all the different opportunities and how you would volunteer. You can volunteer from your home with your telephone or online, depending on the actual volunteer opportunity. A really big one right now that we're pushing to help is Hope for Naomi. It's a young girl who's 15 years old, and she needs a bone marrow donor. And people don't know that you can actually do that from your home. You can get swabbed orally and send it. They send you a kit, and that is part of volunteering. It's just take 3 minutes of your time, see if you're a match or who else you can help in the world, you know, if you're not a match with her. And you can help someone, learning about the different medical causes out there that are not just cancer, that are, you know, killing all of a lot of people, but I'm saying other diseases. So all of the opportunities will be very specific and what is required. And sometimes you might need to do, if you're dealing with an opportunity with children, the cause, the nonprofit, you might need to do a background check because you want to make sure you're not crazy, you know, but that's normal.
Right, especially if you're working with children.
Of course.
Right?
Or
information.
Yeah,
especially if you're working with children. Mm-hmm.
Yes, or even information from the elderly.
Right. Now, is it you're doing a huge CASA push, right? Right now?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. What was that?
I'm sorry. Are you doing a huge CASA push for the child advocate for the courts for foster children?
Oh my God, yes. We are doing so many things with foster care, and I love how you brought that up because not only could we do opportunities like that, we also have crafting opportunities for foster children. I don't know if you know or lots of people listening that when children are DCF, your Department of Children and Families, and they're in every single city, when they're taken from their homes for whatever situation, the children are forced to put their clothing in a bag. So either you're an advocate in court or not in court because of now virtually, but I'm saying there's different ways that you can be an advocate. You can help sew the bags, help create these, you know, little kits for them. I mean, there's so many different aspects. And with foster children, it's also, you know, it's a journey. These are children that it doesn't matter that, you know, we don't know what happened. We don't know, but we just know that they're children. And that one moment, if we can make them happy and we can at least, you know, make them smile for one little moment of their life is so, so important. So absolutely, we have a lot of different opportunities. And I love how you mentioned that because it doesn't have to necessarily be one cause, one nonprofit. Everyone has, like I said, a Department of Children and Families. So you can actually call or drop off toys or drop off clothes. They have a huge room. Every single city has it where they collect things from people so they can give them to the children. So, yeah, thank you so much for mentioning that because that's a huge one.
Right, right. Now, let's see, you're involved in so many. I don't know how you keep it all straight. There was a story you were telling me the other day when we were talking about a woman who hasn't held a job in X amount of years and her husband passed and she didn't know what to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you share that story?
Yeah, so when COVID, you know, let me just reiterate so everybody can get a little context about this. You know, there's so many momentous periods in our life that we always say, wow, wow, thank you, universe, wow, thank you to people. There's amazing people in this world. A woman lost her husband during COVID, and she was an elderly woman, and she haven't worked in so many years. She was a homemaker and, you know, taking care of her home internally and did not, you know, wasn't paying. She didn't have to pay bills. She didn't have to worry about those things because her husband was the one taking care of all that. And from day to night, she had to figure out how to create a resume, how to use the internet, how to use a computer, how to get around in certain things in her own community. And, you know, we, our volunteer platform, the way that it makes it so different is that you can post a volunteer as well, a need. It's not just for, you know, nonprofits. So we posted this need for her, and literally we had to take it down in less than a couple of days because we had so many people pouring out saying, I want to help her. I want to help her. They would get on, you know, a call with her or teach her how to do Zoom. They would tell her about interviewing skills and helping with her resume. And even they, I remember she liked to quilt. She did a lot of quilting. So it was like a local store around her neighborhood that that she could help with teaching and maybe cashier. Like, it was just, when I tell you, I get chills just talking about it, the power of people in helping. And they didn't give her anything but their time, their knowledge,
right,
their love, their compassion. And that is something that is so memorable. And now she knows that, you know, her husband would be proud, her children are proud, and it's just like you find so much. And that, it's like I'm getting emotional just thinking about it because now she has a new beginning. You know, there's hope. And that's what volunteering does. It just gives so much. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. And that's exactly what she needed in a time like this. She needed hope. She needed, you know, when something like that happens and, you know, I'm sure that there's a lot of confusion and sadness and, oh my, what am I going to do now kind of thing. And having people volunteer to help her get it all straightened out, I think that is probably one of the most heartwarming stories I've heard in a very, very long time, Alicia. That is, you know, so your organization, Dear God, Are We There Yet, isn't just for nonprofits. As you said, it is for people who are looking for help with something, but not money, never money. But
exactly, it's not
they're
monetary.
Looking, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right, right. So, you know, somebody like this woman, you know, she found the perfect place to request help, and it was taken care of instantaneously. And I love that. There was, you know, really no time in between. You know, I bet it was a whirlwind of activity for her, which probably helped keep her mind off of, you know, what the personal thing that she was going through. So what a great gift was.
Yes, and the connections. I mean, she's connected with people from Colorado, from Hawaii, from all these different states. They're all inviting her for Christmases and Thanksgivings. It's so funny that the other day we reached out, and she's so busy, you know, like she has all this. She has like her own little community now, and it's beautiful to see that she was able to take charge. And even the children during COVID that could not go to school, and a lot of the parents didn't have time to maybe homeschool or they were new to the homeschooling thing. We had so many college students reach out and say, I want to help with the Read With Me program. We posted, it actually started off with my niece and it was a couple other kids, but you know, we wanted to get her some extra reading. And I'm like, well, let's post this on the site. Let's see how it is. And we had so many amazing people. They just want to help kids read and, you know, that time and have speak about imagination or whatever the case is and bring some normalness into their COVID chaos. And it's those moments, those connections that you cultivate, and it's forever. So absolutely, Karen, it's just, it's magical. It really is. And that's why it's time is so, I told you this before when we spoke, time is such, it's so valuable. It's not, we think money, yes, we have to pay bills. We have to do all those things. We understand that. And that's not what I want anyone to perceive what I'm saying. Well, you can, but if you think about it, you give time, you earn time. Those are the things that you're going to remember. Those are the experiences that will carry you on forever.
Exactly. I don't think there's any greater gift than that.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
You know?
Not at all.
Right. Right. So where do you see this? Because I know it is all over the globe just about. So mm-hmm. where do you see this transition from? Because you've done an outstanding job taking it from in-person and all the travel that you mm-hmm. guys did to all different places in the world and helping out and reaching out to these areas. So where do you see the virtual movement going? What's your vision?
So I don't think that virtual will ever go away, and I wouldn't want it to go away because I feel like we can reach a lot of different types of people who it will be, like I was saying, the peer-to-peer volunteering platform. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people that might be handicapped or impaired in some certain way or form, and virtually would be the best way to get to them to be able to do that. But my hopes is really to get into the hearts of companies, you know, and really say to them, are you making social good a priority? Because people are going to want to work for your company if you are putting social good ahead. And I want to be able to go into the companies and say, how can we get your employees to be a part of this so that they can give us feedback or share with us all the causes they're passionate about? So I think the virtual side of it is not going to go away, especially with technology the way it's going. But I know from mm-hmm. in person, we definitely, there's a lot of places that don't have internet and they don't have, there's a lot of communities that are in poverty, and we all know poverty is very complex. And so those are the things that we want to perhaps change and do more vision trips instead of what's called a mission trip, because we don't want to take away anything from anyone. And as someone from a different country and knowing where people come, volunteers come to Dominican Republic, they volunteer for one day or 2 days, or they bring all this amazing stuff, and then they leave, and then we're left with, like, what now? And it's important to know that social good has to come from also empowering and knowledge. Like, we have to understand, how can we help people instead of hurting them? And we don't see it that way. We feel like, well, we're going to give you, you know, $20 today, or we're going to give you a meal today. Yeah, that's great. That's only solving today. It's not solving what you could do in the future. And so those are things that we really want to continue to, like, educate people, especially with the homelessness community. You know, there's a lot of veterans that are homeless, and why? They fought for us. They did so much. So what resources can we give them to get the mental facility information that they need, or the capacity of housing? Because we're giving them food today, but what happens tomorrow? They're still going to be hungry. And so could we say, let's start building these local food communities, you know, and then employing them, you know, like, let's get really creative. Let's teach them these skills that won't bring them back into that, you know, when they were back in the force, you know. So those are the things that my team and I would say keep me up at night, is because I want to find innovative ways of we're helping instead of hurting. So that's super, super important in everything that we do. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. And have it continue on, not just last for the day or a week.
Yeah.
Is that in being there, you're also teaching them how to, incorporate what you're doing into their own daily life, because you say, if I can do it, you can do it, right? And teaching them.
Exactly.
It's like reading to the children, that gives them, and teaching them how to read. And that gives them such confidence going forward, whether in school or a work environment. Maybe it's an adult that needs to learn how to read, giving them the confidence that they need to feel, so they feel good about themselves and then self-empowered, rather than, feeling like they can't overcome anything because of maybe dyslexia or they never learned how to read properly or something like that. So I think
You hit it right. Yeah, no, you said it correctly. Even in the animal world, I've never been, I've had animals before, dogs, but I never knew the wide variety of knowledge and understanding, about where the breeding and all that stuff and saving our animals and just from so much. And it's just like, wow, the next time you're thinking about getting a dog or a cat, think about it. If you're going to get it from a shelter or a breeder, think about how many animals are needed, or think about what type of animals, it's just so much. And it's the educational part and that makes you think like, wow, I'm going to not get this dog for my child because I'm not going to have time. And if I don't, I'm going to have to end up putting that dog up for adoption. And what happens? You see what I mean? So it's not, you can't go based on what society. I'm going to get my child a dog because I want them to grow up in it. No, you need to think about it. That dog needs to be with you forever, and that is a commitment. And people don't see it. It's as simple as that. It is a commitment. They are part of your family now. And the suffering that animals go through for so many different things, they go through a lot of suffering. And so those are just snippets, and I want people to get a wide variety of these opportunities in the world. It's not just people, but also animals, the environment. This is a huge one. I want to make sure I say this because I know we don't have that much stuff, and I can talk forever because I just love this stuff. But it's knowing how we live on a daily basis and food spoilage in our home, why meal planning or prepping might be good. Because if we buy all this food and we don't end up, I say it in my own home. I'm like, oh my God, all this food is going to waste, and we don't see it that way. Or how could we, or the little bit of plastic and some people might, someone out there might say, hey, you're not really going to make a difference. Listen, you're going to make a difference. If you can start in your household, your children will adapt that, your neighbors will adapt that, and then it just starts with one person, Karen. That's it.
Mm-hmm. It does. It only takes one to get a ball rolling, and you just keep rolling until you get to where you're going, and hopefully other people will have had, been inspired by what you do. It's like, to me, it's like that pebble, and I use this analogy a lot, pebble that skips across the pond, right?
Mm-hmm.
The pebble
mm-hmm.
never sees the beauty that it leaves in its wake as it's skipping, right? So
when
you touch somebody, you are that pebble, and how you help change somebody is that ripple effect that just continues to go out. And it's a beautiful thing, darling. It really is what you're doing. I sit in amazement going through DearGodAreWeThereYet.com and looking at all of the different volunteers. Programs, I guess, opportunities, volunteer opportunities that people have.
Yes.
And I follow you on Facebook with the group and I saw your outreach this morning for the bone marrow transplant.
Yes.
And
the
so I personally,
only.
I'm going to order a kit and see.
Oh,
and see if
heart.
I can
Thank
match
you.
Her. Yeah,
oh
I am. I'm going to order a kit and see. Yeah, you never know.
And it starts, you never know. And, you know, this is why I even said this to Lane before. Like, every time I go on the website for UCA, it makes my heart just smile, like my soul smile, because it's caring. Mm-hmm. It's a basic thing that we learn, like caring and kindness. It's like, that's, you know, people always ask me, like, oh, what do you want your daughter to do? And da, da, da. I'm like, listen, I want her to be kind. I want her to be strong, and I want her to be respectful. Like, that, those are the things that I want her to be in, so just kindness and caring. And it starts with just the simplest things, the please and thank yous, the let me hear what you have to say, let me pick up your trash, my neighbor, how's my elderly neighbor doing, how can I do something locally, can I pick up trash in my local beach or Nara, like, nobody has to tell you to do any of this. So everyone listening today on today's show, you can do something. It starts with you. And it doesn't have to be this whole grandiose. You don't have to feel like you're Angelina Jolie or this celebrity and you have to listen. You don't have to post it on anywhere. Just do it. And the universe is going to thank you. The person is going to thank you inside. And you're going to change someone's life. But most importantly, you're going to change your life, because you are going to see how it makes you feel. Because you'll never know that one day, when that 1 hour that you might need something and you say, wow, now I know how this feels, in a sense of where kindness comes from and love and gratitude. And thank you for UCA for even existing, because we need that. We need that caring and that kindness platform.
Oh, UCA is such an amazing organization.
Yeah.
From Lane to Luna, Lydia, April, Caitlin, hopefully I didn't leave anybody out. They are all
everyone.
Yeah, no. Oh my God, they are just amazing. They truly are, and you know, they all have they're just all so super kind. You know, with that team there is moving mountains, and I'm so happy, and I feel actually very blessed that Dear God, Are We There Yet has partnered up with UCA, because number one, it's a perfect match, and you touch on so many of, you know, the care, like the care program, right? Children, animals,
the elderly.
Yeah, thank you. Reforestation, that's what I was thinking of.
Yes,
I'm trying to go C-A-R-E, yeah.
Yes.
And the elderly. Yes, and the elderly, they are so near and dear to me. You know, I think our elders are probably, you know, the lifeblood to wisdom, right? Because you know, like when we were talking, my grandmother was born in 1902, so she almost lived to be 100 years old. She was 3 years shy of that 100. But can you imagine the time capsule inside of her mind, right? And for our younger, you know, for the kids and the grandkids that are growing up today, you know, to be able to go and just have some fun time, whether virtually or in person, depending on where you live and what your, you know, COVID restrictions are, to go and spend some time with somebody in a retirement facility and just absorb their wisdom, just be. And it's a beautiful thing. Yeah, just be.
Yes, indeed.
Oh,
just be.
Alicia, you are so awesome. You are so awesome. You really
Thank
are.
You.
Yeah, so people can find you at DearGodAreWeTheReYet.com.
Yes, DearGodAreWeThereYet.
Along with your...
.com.
I'm sorry?
Yes,
I'm
sorry, you're right.
Go.
I was agreeing. DearGodAreWeTheReYet.com.
Oh, okay. But then Facebook, is it just the acronym of the initials? On your Facebook?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, so it's DGAWTY.
TY, yep. That's correct.
Yes. Yeah, and that's just a that's just a page where there's not really any interaction from you, but just the postings of what current needs are for people like this young lady who is in need of a transfusion, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we, if they want to know, they can always go on to our blog or our Instagram. Dear God, are we there yet? On our Instagram, we try to post in a lot of in real time of what's going on and all the opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You are so great. Thank you so much for being my guest today. I've had so much fun. You will come back and talk with me some more,
of
won't you?
Of course. Of course. Whenever you want me, I'll be here.
Awesome. You're so great. Alicia, thank you so much for your time. It's been such a pleasure getting to know you and work alongside with you as we journey this, you know, reality together, creating hopefully new realities for people. You're amazing.
Yes,
thank you
absolutely.
So much.
Thank you so much. And thank you, UCA. And you guys have a wonderful day.
Thank you, darling. You take care.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank
and,
you.
Yes, ma'am. All right. And that is a wrap for today's show. Check in with us next week and see what's going on. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day. Bye-bye.